everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually 127 for the 9th of April, 2011, and I think I took Josh off guard.
You totally did. You didn't even say we were starting.
I did. I said it twice.
You did not. You're a liar.
I am David McVeigh, and I am joined in studio by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
I'm all right, but I'm only, like, I didn't have any money on the way up here, so unfortunately I haven't had any coffees apart from this one yet, so I'm still waking up.
Fair enough. Okay.
So, yeah, officially, chat room, you can actually take this one. I'm tired. Deal with it.
We're going to make a mashup of those. We really are. All right, sip of coffee and let's get into this.
While.
This is the all-new Geek Actually show. As you say, all-new, but we've been doing it for almost 8 or 9 weeks now, but so it's not really that new anymore. But, you know, what the hell? It sounds good. This is where we took our old tech show, we take our after show, we smoosh them together, and we get some sort of gelatinous mess at the end of geeky goodness that is great to consume.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines.
Yeah, that was a very interesting intro.
Well, that's good. We start this show, as always, with a little bit of feedback. And before we go any further, we should say that the show does go out live.
Yeah.
And in a change of events, Daylight Savings is over. So we can now say we go out live at 12 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time.
So it's no longer Eastern Daylight Savings
Standard Time, UTC plus 10. Okay, back to the way it should be. Okay, so there you go.
I'm so confused.
Me too. You can join us by going to geekactually.com/live, and we have a chat room, and you'll hear us sometimes talk to this chat room, and you'll be wondering why we sound like we're talking to ourselves, and we're actually not. We have words on the screen that we follow, and we have an active little chat room today, although my chat window has disappeared here. There we go. We have everybody from the Little Geek to Freak to Callison. They're all in there. Delta Knight, as usual, moderates our chat room. He is also our researcher for the show, and a lot of the links from today will come from Delta Knight. And if I sound disorganized, it's because we had a big crash just before we started. So,
and Dave did a great job at running manically around to try and get it all plugged in.
So there is a very good chance that the show may collapse as we're doing it. Yeah. But we're just going to plod along here, and if it crashes, it crashes. We will rectify. That's one of the joys of going out live.
Yeah.
And you know what? If it crashes, for the audio listeners out there, you probably wouldn't even know it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Except you'll hear us bitching and complaining about it, but you won't hear the crash, you know? It's not like, you know, a car goes, you know,
could happen, but we
should add that sound effect.
It is two stories up, though, so that would be quite difficult.
We should add that sound effect. We have some feedback. Now, my bad, I'm going to take full responsibility for this feedback. Zed, who is in our chat room right now, wrote us a letter and basically said, "Hey, Dave and Josh." And I'm going to take Josh's name off this because really it's aimed straight at me. And I'm going to say, first off, codecs. Mac uses file extensions in the same way that Linux, Unix, Windows, and Solaris. Mac will screw up just as badly if you put a .txt on the end of a .mov file. The reason it works with MP4 and MOV is that the codec is the same. The same can be done on a Windows/etc. machine. It won't work with .m4a to .mp3. It does work with .vob to .mpeg and also certain other formats. He's absolutely right.
And I want to say straight off the bat, thanks, guys, because you
keep us honest.
Yeah, Zed, Freak, you guys are both fantastic at pulling us in line when we do occasionally screw up. And we do take
He says in the chat room he doesn't want to sound that mean. No, I didn't take it mean at all. You actually caught me on an old school problem. And the reason why it's an old school problem is because I used to
We did some research. We both thought.
When you said that to me, I went, no, wait a minute. That doesn't sound right. And I started to do a little research. And I used to use an old System 8 Mac a long time ago until I entered the world of the OS X Macs. And you're right on one level. But there is actually an issue that you should also be aware of. Now, according to an article on Wikipedia, and we all know that Wikipedia isn't 100%, but, you know, as long as there are references and stuff at the bottom that you can follow, so usually we can get away with something. But it does say here, pre-OS X versions of Mac OS, such as Mac OS 8, disposed of file name extensions entirely, instead using a file type code to identify the file format. Additionally, a creator code was specified to determine which application would be launched when the file's icon was double-clicked. Mac OS X, however, uses file name suffixes as well as type and creator codes as a consequence of being derived from the Unix-like next step operating system, which actually goes on to say that they didn't have file types.
Exactly, which is interesting because me and Dave were actually talking about this before the show because we had actually sat down a long time ago and tried to figure out why it was that on Mac you will get two.
That's right. It's a hidden file that you can't actually see on the Mac unless you use a Unix or a console code to expose hidden files. Mm. But when you take a Mac disk and you put it into a PC, like a floppy disk, like a USB key. You know, I was watching a movie the other night and there was a whole pile of floppy disks. I went, floppy disk. Anyway, that's beside the point.
They're going to become retro.
They are.
They're going
to
come back.
Speaking of retro, it's not in the show notes, but I want to talk to you about something really retro fantastic coming up that I read about last night. But anyway, the point is that if you take a USB key that's been used on a Mac and put it onto your PC, you will find a hidden folder called reference. Mm. And in that reference folder is duplicates of every single file that is also on the disk, but hidden. And that's because these are, I'm assuming, are the creator, the file type reference files that it uses. You can actually, so the thing about a Mac OS X computer that's really interesting is that, yes, there are suffixes at the end, but you actually have the ability on a Mac, which you can't do on a PC. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Josh actually confirmed this, but correct me if I'm wrong. You can add as many dots as you want to a file name. So I could actually call, let's say I did a home movie of Josh. I could actually call that movie josh.home.movie.move or MOV, and it would still see it as a movie file. Whereas if you can't put those dots on a PC file.
You're not making a video of me.
And it says that Z has now said Windows 7 only takes the last dot, which is like a Mac.
Yeah.
So the last dot is the one that is relevant to the suffix. Mm. So yes, I thank you, Zed, for keeping me honest. You're absolutely right. OS X does have file extensions, but it also has file type locators and creator codes. And this is actually a very interesting point. Now, I don't know if Windows 7 has actually started to do this. I don't believe it does. But if you actually remove the file extension from a Mac OS X icon or file in your computer, it can still identify that file about 80% of the time. Odd file types it has trouble with, but standard file types like text files, it will still see it and the icon will still represent a text file because it's obviously gone, we have a suffix, but you don't have a suffix, but we also have alternate ways to find it. So thank you for keeping me honest about that, because we should always back up our facts before we say things. And the other thing is about codecs. Now, for those who don't understand what a codec is, it actually stands for compression decompression, and it's actually all video files. Even when I love it, I actually went into a now codecs is something I do know a little bit about. I actually went in to look for a digital camera at some point, and the guy goes, "Yeah, it's mini." This is a while ago. He goes, "It's mini DV, so it's uncompressed." And that's bullshit, because mini DV in itself is a codec. Right? So it's a different kind of codec, but it is a codec. Mm-hmm. A raw file, an uncompressed video stream, is huge. Mm-hmm. And so what we use is codecs to reduce that file size. There are lossy and lossless codecs. Lossy codec means it actually removes information that is unvital. MP3 is a lossy codec. It actually removes upper and lower bands that are supposedly out of our hearing range anyway, so we don't miss it. You put it onto a super hi-fi, you're going to miss it. But, you know, on through a set of earbuds, you'll never know it was ever there, right? And something like TIFF, for instance, on a picture is actually a lossless a form of compression. So what happens is your file is compressed at one end, and at the other end, if you have the appropriate codec, it's decompressed for playback. Now, there are shell casings around these codecs. QuickTime files have the .mov. That is a shell casing. QuickTime in itself uses codecs inside it. So you've got, you know, Sorensen's or, you know, MP4 or what have you. These are all various compression techniques that you can put in there. DIVX is a very popular one, or XVID is a hacked version of DIVX, and so forth. And the actual file extension often is irrelevant to the codec being used. When you have to transcode a file is when you're actually changing from one codec to another. So you take a QuickTime file that was encoded using Sorensen's, for instance, which was very popular many years ago, and you want to encode that into a DivX file. You have to transcode that file from one to the other. Changing a file extension would make no difference whatsoever because they're both .mov files. And this is the same on Windows or Mac. There's just different codecs and different file extensions. PCs often use AVI files, and underneath that shell of an AVI file will be DIVX or what have you underneath that surface. So that explains that, just for those who were wondering what the hell codec means. The second point to his email was he said that the limit on ISP size, this is about the NBN story we did last week, and he said, second, the limit on ISP size is due to the costs involved. Look at blog.internode.on.net for a few good descriptions. Conroy himself isn't enforcing a hard limit. It's the costs he's putting in place that are killing the market. You're absolutely right. What we were actually, I think we just didn't word it right. What we were actually talking about last week was not the fact that it wasn't going to cost more or less for smaller or bigger ISPs. The issue of the story was that out of Conroy's mouth came one thing and the facts were another.
Yeah.
Conroy came out and publicly said it's, you know, utopia, perfect land where everybody will have perfectly even across the board, and that's not true.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're upset about.
That was
not
the point.
Necessarily,
yeah, not the facts happening behind it.
Yeah.
The facts behind it are, yes, there are going to be people who get stiffed over this thing. But thank you very much. He does actually go on to say, other than that, great show. Hope to be back in the chat room on Saturday, and he is. So, Zed, thank you very much. He sums it up really nicely. He says, with the codec thing, you generally have a container and then two streams.
Yep.
So, okay, that's that. Let's move on. If you want to send feedback to us, send it at feedback@geekactually.com. We love your mail. And we have one other piece here, which is Clara Tungle, who is in our chat room. Yes? No? No, not today. He's normally in our chat room. Has sent us a link. Apparently, Google has an answer to the Facebook like button. If you remember going back several months ago, we were talking about Google. There was all these rumors about Google Me and this social network that Google might be doing and blah, blah, blah. We seem to see another step in that direction. This is not it.
Yeah.
But Google has started something called the plus one button, which is basically like the like button for Facebook.
Yeah.
So you can plus one a website, which will help it in its rankings in the search engine, theoretically. And theoretically, if they created a social network, would put it onto your stream. The problem is, before everybody gets too excited, at this point, plus one is by invitation only. And if you plus one websites, if you are on that account and you plus one websites, it doesn't count on your Google ranking yet, because not everybody has it.
Yeah.
So it is from Google Labs, and it is just an idea. And I think they want to put this into place. And, you know, whatever. I'm so over the whole like button, dig button. It's like,
God. I'm not. That's what gets us our hits on the freaking side.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Let's see what happens with Google. I don't know if Google's going to pull this off or not. At the moment, it's
a quick thing. Are you planning to? I'm not sure whether you're aware of this, but you know, Share This has changed their Windows system, which I think is actually a really good thing, because I hate the fact that Share This takes you to another window.
They used to do it as a pop-up.
Yeah. Now it's actually all self-contained again. You can actually activate it
when
on
did
the
this
website.
When did this happen?
2-3 days ago.
Okay, because it's interesting, because I remember with Share This, it was just a pop-up window, which I used to like. And then suddenly overnight, it changed into the whole thing where it took you to another website and all this sort of nonsense. And then last week, it went back to being a pop-up again.
Yeah. It's
so you're saying it's gone back to being a website?
Well, it's now an option.
Oh,
so I think
okay. What
probably happened is some sites didn't want that, and yeah, they got grumpy about it.
Yeah, Calisynth has clarified, basically saying that the plus one button on Google says it's only people on your friends list on your Google profile will see your plus ones at this point.
Yes, and how many people...
And how many invites have actually been sent out for plus one at this point? So I don't think it's not really going to do much at this point. Northy has said the problem at large scale is that this can be abused easily if people can launch 1,000 connect DDoS attacks. Surely rep posting isn't that hard either. Oh, reputation. Yeah, you've got a point. Okay. See, they need validated users, say semantic researchers, to be able to change the ranking of sites for everyone.
Yeah, okay.
Look, I think at the moment, don't worry about it too much. You're not going to see it around too much. And if you do hit it, unless you're on the plus one profile thing, it's not going to make much difference.
Mm.
It's... I heard this the other day. It is not affecting rankings yet. Okay? They've actually said that. So what's the point in it? Who knows? Josh.
I like that.
Hmm?
What's the use in it? Who knows? Sorry, I just like the way you put that.
Yeah, you know what it's like. Josh, I got terrifying news for you.
Oh, goody. Tell me.
You know that impending robot apocalypse that is coming?
Obviously.
You know the Geminoid robots? That would be the Angel of Death, mm-hmm. and that freaky looking white guy with the beard who looks real? They got together for a summit.
Both of them.
Three of them. And the Asian dude. Don't forget the Asian dude. Who I think may be the head of the company. But it looks something like this. We're going to keep the sound. We're going to keep the mics up because there's not a lot of talking going on here. Okay? But have a look at this in the background while we're talking. This was the Geminoid Summit. And what's really freaky about this is here's the robots here. For those who are listening on audio, the link is there. There's the Angel of Death.
Not saying anything.
And none of them are. They've all got this kind of freaky head down. But here's the freaky part. Here's their originals. So this is the actual people standing next to their robots. Dude. And all I can think is these robots are probably talking to each other right now going, how long until the invasion? How long until we take over?
Like, this guy in the middle looks like he's actually a little bit worried. This guy here is going, take your time. And the Angel of Death's just like, I'm going to kill someone.
Well,
I swear she just, like, twitched when she got touched.
And she's like, stop doing my hair, woman. Yeah.
I swear, the Angel of Death's going to be doing the killing. He's definitely the personable one that'll fool everybody.
The one in the middle
is
the mastermind.
Exactly.
He's Dr. Evil.
It's just creepy. And how could you be comfortable with standing in a room with someone like looks like yourself?
I gotta say, though, look how identical that white guy is to his robot.
Yeah,
that is the most amazing one.
Yeah.
I mean, the Angel of Death is creepy because she is unerringly weird-looking, but he looks so normal, and his robot looks exactly like him.
Yeah.
That's the infiltrator.
The Asian dude actually isn't very good.
No, I think he might have been the prototype. I think he might have been the original.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there you go. There's the Geminoid Summit with these weird-ass robots. Look at the evil mastermind at the top there, though. He's looking at them all like, you worthless humans, why are you here? Go away, worthless humans. We have interesting stuff to talk about. It's actually a very long video, and it goes for about 9 minutes or something like that, with these people all talking about and worshipping their robot overlords.
Yes, I'm totally with Freak. Let's kill our originals and take their place now. That's what he was talking about.
And Delta says it looks like the mastermind when it looks like he's on his throne.
He looks very superior where he's sitting.
So I just thought that was really freaky when that was sent through. It's like, that may be too much robot in one room.
Yeah.
For my liking. I worry about that. This is just a little bit too much in one room. Okay. Now, can you help me out here? Because you actually use the feature. I don't.
Yeah.
But am I suffering a major case of deja vu here? Because apparently, when daylight savings changed, people with iOS devices were having trouble with the changeover in time.
Really?
Didn't they fix this 6 months ago?
I didn't actually get the problem this time.
Apparently people were having trouble because it wasn't so much the alarm wasn't going off this time, it wasn't changing the time.
You know, I think this is all crap. I think this is the fact that we've had it happen twice, so now everyone's willing to accept it. So now you've just got a whole bunch of people that just were late for work and just went, shit, what can I blame it on? iOS! Yeah.
Oh, Delta says he is having trouble with he says his calendar is all fucked up on his phone.
I don't know. Me and Celine didn't have a problem.
I had no issues. I don't use the alarm clock feature, but my clock reset properly as it was supposed to do, and everything was fine.
My alarm went off, and I got to work on time.
Well, there you go. And according to the news.com.au article this time, it's not everyone this time. So yeah. it is an isolated event.
They're doing pretty well at doing this wrong every single time. Like, this is a relatively simple application, I would have thought.
And I read this article, I went, wait a minute, we had this going into daylight savings, and there was a patch.
Yeah.
Why is there... No, there wasn't a patch. If you remember, they said it will write itself over a couple of days.
Yeah.
They never actually patched it. Apple, get your act together. It's the simplest application on your phone. If you can't make that work...
Yeah.
Okay, Freak says Freak says they can get their calendar and times right. Callison says get rid of daylight savings and a number of problems would go away. That I agree with. I am not a big daylight savings fan, and I was very happy it ended. Okay, moving right along. Financial Times has taken a stand against Apple, and I thought this was a very interesting article. If you remember, Apple's just started this whole new paywall subscription thing where they take 30% and you subscribe through the app. And they say if you want to offer subscriptions outside of the app, you can, but you also have to offer them inside the app. Financial Times has said, get stuffed. Financial Times has said, we are not interested in your 30%. We're not interested in your subscription service. And at this point in time, they have a lot of power. Financial Times is a very, very big paper. And at this point in time, I don't know. I didn't actually look. Chat room, can you help us? Is the Financial Times currently available in iOS or in the App Store? I'd be very curious to know if it is actually currently available because they are refusing to do the subscription model. Mm. Now, if any newspaper has the power to turn around and say this and make Apple go, yeah, all right, you know, it's going to be the Financial Times. So I'm very interested to see what actually happens, but I think it's very interesting also they took a stand on this.
Well, I think that to me, my biggest problem is that if you look at Android or something like that, they're not kind of getting the same sort of like they're not being reined in quite as hard as they are on Apple.
And no.
I think what people are being very careful with now is the fact that Apple is kind of doing the monopoly thing that we have seen so much with Microsoft. And the difference being is that they're charging for everything, right?
Now, yeah, I'd like to point out, though, that Apple gets hammered for this 30-70 split that they do. And everybody's like, oh, how dare they? And it's such a big split. Microsoft App Store, the Microsoft Marketplace, does exactly the same split on the Phone 7s.
Yeah, no. I don't mean from that point of view. What I'm saying is, as an example, if the Financial Times just went with a website-based system and just completely ignored the App Store, they have full control. And it's like, I can understand why they wouldn't want to be losing 30% plus.
Sure, but they can't get the app onto the iPhone unless they go through the App Store. So
creating an icon is as simple as going to the website and pressing the button that says save on home screen.
Yeah, okay, you can create a web app. That's a different story. I'm talking about if you want to be in the App Store, which is where everybody wants to be. If you want to have an app in the App Store and you want to put subscription in it, at this point in time, under Apple rules, you have to offer subscription through the app, through the App Store, and therefore Apple takes a 30% cut. So Financial Times is saying no, but the question is, I think their app might still be on the App Store at this point. So I'm curious. Do we ever get an answer to that, by the way? Northy says, welcome to Apple. We can sell complex technology, but we can't master an if statement. I love that. All right. And Callison says, in their defense, Sony can't do leap years.
Yeah.
I actually don't know. Have we had an iOS device cross a leap year yet?
God, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't even know if we've had that.
All phones will reset.
That's all right. Look, 2012.
The world will end.
2012 is, you know.
Do you think Apple's going to bring 2012?
12 months away, it's and the, just whole, like, the whole world comes to
like
an end anyway.
The whole world just turns off. Like half the world that uses iPhones or iPods or iPads are just late for work and the world just crashes.
Yep, there you go. That's what's going to happen.
Fuck you, Jobs. It's all your fault.
Right. That little piece of retro news that I wanted to talk to you about.
Yes.
Commodore 64.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Have you seen the Commodore 64 and the new Amigas?
I have. I haven't seen the Amigas.
If
but
you
I
go to CommodoreUSA.com, I think it is, do a Google search for Commodore USA. They have their website up, and they are now selling VIC-20s, Commodore 64s, and Amigas. Now, before you get too excited, they're actually not Commodore 64, VIC-20s, or Amigas. They actually have modern-day components inside.
Yeah.
But they are creating and working on a brand new Commodore OS, which will be shipped out soon. All of these machines have emulators built into them, and they will run classic Commodore. They will run the classic Commodore Basic for your Commodore 64 gameplay. But these machines are awesome. They've actually got DVD or Blu-ray drives on the side.
Oh wow!
They've actually got all the right ports. They've got all the right ports on the back. But from the top, they look exactly like an original Commodore 64. I want one so bad.
Specifications. So it's got an HDMI, a DVI, and a VGA out. It has four USBs, and it has a 3.5mm audio jack out.
You're talking to
inside
your computer,
it,
not the
it's
microphone.
Running a It's difficult. I got to look at it as well. It's running an AMD, an Intel Atom chipset 1.8, which is one of the newer ones. It's also running, is that four gigs of RAM? Wow, and Ion graphics processor.
Look, the thing is awesome. It's got HDMI out. It's got optional Blu-ray that you can put into it. It looks fantastic. No, look, it just looks fantastic. It's got the old clickety-clack keyboard, the whole bit. I want one of these. They start at, according to the site, they're more expensive. I heard somewhere the other day, though, that says they start at $250 and go up to $900 US. The site, the starting price is $500, so I don't know where the prices are going from there. But it isn't actually released yet. The Commodore is coming out in May, I think it is. The VIC-20 is out now, and there is a new Amiga coming out as well, and the Amiga is a nice big box. So I am very excited about these machines. I was a big Commodore 64 boy.
Honestly, I want the Amiga. Like, there is so many Amiga games that people missed out on.
You know what? I actually have a feeling that Commodore 64 will play all those Amiga games.
Oh, dude, probably. But just understand that, like, the Amiga excites me because...
I like the Commodore because I like the look of it. I think the hardware is pretty much the same.
As long as it has the Amiga, because the Amiga has... I remember... my friend had a disc box, about that deep by that wide, and I spent 2.5 years going around to his house every weekend. We never made it through that whole box.
That's fantastic.
So there is so
much. My tech guru, the man I look up to, the man I admire, the man who gives me my tech news if I ever need a question answered, Mr. David B. I won't say his full name because I don't know if he wants to be disclosed, but David B. in Melbourne, you know who you are. He is my man. He's my guru, and he had an Amiga, and it was wild. It was a wild machine.
Things are amazing.
But I'm very keen on that Commodore 64 just because of the box, man. I love the design. And the classic power button on the top, the classic power light on the top is now the power button. So they've actually really done their work on it. And Callison's in our chat room says, I still have my programming books for my 64. Well, programming books for the 64.
Fucking A, man. That's classic. Keep hold of that.
Classic.
That stuff is worth money.
Commodore Basic. I remember the Commodore Basic. Loved it.
That's where I started, man.
C64 Basic. There you go. Chris from Bris Vegas. Absolutely. Look, I learned to program on MS Basic, and C64 Basic wasn't that far off.
Yeah.
And it was a really – I love Basic. I love the simplicity of Basic. You couldn't do anything real.
No, you really
But it was a lot of fun. Okay, so from classic Commodore 64s, and there you go. There's a Christmas present. Anybody wants to buy me a Christmas present? Classic Commodore 64,
At least one of them, so we can hold it up.
Bring it over here. Yeah, absolutely. I like the idea that, because the Commodore 64, the thing about the 64 was you always plugged it into a TV set.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that this has got HDMI out and high def, so you can actually plug it into your high def TV now. I think it's fantastic.
It's amazing, man.
Absolutely. Fantastic. What a great media center PC that would make.
Absolutely.
In front of your television
it's
set?
It's all in one keyboard. It's
beautiful.
As one of the guys in the chat room was saying, you've got it all right there. The only problem is you've got to have a mouse.
Oh, it's got a USB port.
Yeah, I know. It's just, it kind of takes away from the...
Yeah. I mean, there's a few... I mean, and it's not really a 64, but wouldn't it be great to get our hands on an old 64? Anyway, my old 64 still exists. It's actually in my uncle's basement in Melbourne.
Wow.
I used to have an old 64 with lots of games. Space Taxi, one of my favorites. And Infiltrator for the win. All right. More graphene news. Our zinc oxide of the decade of the 2000s. Apparently, they're now finding out that graphene has heat dissipating qualities. And they're actually finding out that we may be able to make electronic components that basically cool themselves, which I think is a really interesting article. It's on IO9. The link is in our show notes. And what they're saying is that when it's spread out and they make... my IO9 link has gone all bizarro. Never mind. I won't be able to read it off the article. I'll just summarize for you. Basically, it's the graphene is spread out, all the connections. And what they find is as electricity is put through it, the components heat up, which is what happens with electricity.
Yeah, yeah,
but as the electricity passes the graphene junctions, they cool down rapidly.
Well, graphene itself is like, you've had hands-on with it?
No, I haven't.
It's a very cool material, like, to touch. It's a bit like something like graphite, obviously, and stuff like that, where it's like you touch it and it's cool to start with.
Very nice.
So you can just imagine the joys of that kind of thing.
So as Jacob last week, our guest Jacob Oberman, was actually talking about the graphene and, you know, the Carl Kuznitsky, the scientist here in Australia was actually saying that the future of microchips is probably in graphene, and this would lead credence to that. The idea of making microchips that could actually cool down faster would definitely mean faster chips. Okay. Video for you. This is just, the only reason this video is in this board is because of its coolness factor. I got to tell you, it is awesomely cool. We all know tasers. Yes. And we all know that, you know, the taser is the classic gun. You fire it, it fires little wires out, sticks in.
And it's hilarious.
And, you know, makes people go, right? You know, yeah. Lots of them. Well, taser actually makes so much more than just one weapon.
Yeah.
And their latest weapon is called the taser grenade.
I love it already.
And I'm going to play you this video. It's a little bit long, but bear with me because I think you'll enjoy this. They talk about tasers, and then the actual reporter himself gets tased. All right, so he takes one for the team. So here you go. That's here's the taser
Let's
grenade.
Do this.
It was a sunny day in Arizona, but I'd come here for one reason.
Taser, taser, taser.
I was going to be hit with the brand new taser grenade, and I was going down hard. But before I get hit, let's go check out some traditional non-lethal weapons.
Look at that thing.
We're out here at the Chandler Police Department impound lot. Sergeant Schultz is going to demonstrate a few of these non-lethal weapons.
This happens to be the TAC 700 pepper ball launcher. You want to go first or you want me to...
Did he say let me try? Sweet.
Sorry?
The taser grenade launcher?
So this is the pepper ball launcher.
Shotgun. It's actually a Mossberg.
This is the rubber bullet shotgun. I like that.
Incapacitated.
Yeah, seen those.
We're going to bring out the Penn Arms.
Here we go.
Six. No. These happen to be the KO1.
These are rubber rockets.
Oh, dude.
Look at that
next
thing.
Thing we're going to show is the
this is what I love. What's this?
Aerial denial system.
If you want to just lay down, now's
just
the chance.
Just taking out groups.
Jesus.
This fires out tons of tasers.
Now that we've seen what taser does to some rubber
dude,
dummies,
what would happen if you caught like five of those?
With visions of loomless
right, so
rubber
the,
dummies
so
still fresh in my head,
the taser grenade
to taser headquarters in Scottsdale
is for distance.
For an exclusive look at the brand new taser grenade. I was about to become the first civilian to experience its electrifying
God, it even
power
looks dangerous.
Up close,
doesn't it?
And painfully
it looks
impressive.
Like actually looks like a deodorant roll-on.
Walk us through
stick.
Maybe just yeah. a little bit about the most innovative thing that come out of Taser International.
We're taking everything that is a taser device and packaging it into a projectile that you'll be able to put downrange onto a target.
Okay.
Oh,
taser
wow.
provides the only capability that truly incapacitates.
Incapacitates because it causes almost every muscle in your body to involuntarily contract.
I would really
taser
not
was a little
this.
Concerned that I wasn't man enough to handle a direct hit from the taser grenade, so they insisted on a gentler option.
Oh, dude, look at the
same
end of it. It's got like bits sticking out of
it. And so we're basically going to hook up the mechanism that's in the grenade to myself via the box.
And now it was time to feel the sting of 50,000 volts.
Easy.
All right, are my holders ready?
Ready.
All right. Taser, taser, taser.
Ah! It may not kill you, but it will hurt like hell. <animals. laughs> They tased me, bro.
They tased me.
Wow.
So there that you go. That's
did
the,
not
the,
look pleasant.
The taser grenade. Basically, it's a projectile. Rather than having to be within range to shoot the wires into somebody, you just shoot this projectile at them, and it's all self-contained within the one projectile.
I will never, ever want to be tased after seeing Jackass 3D, because if you see that film...
I still haven't seen it.
If you see that film, there's a section where they actually run through a hallway of tasers on wires, and the effects did not seem to be very pleasant for anyone involved. In fact, I don't think that one got much of an afterthought. It was kind of like, cut the cameras, everyone go lie down. So look, but good on them. Look, I think the more of this stuff we do, the less people die and the less people that get killed, you know.
Look, I think all non-lethal weapons are a good idea. I think the idea of being able to stop a riot before it's happening and not actually have to permanently hurt anybody, you know, is probably a good idea. But boy, it doesn't look nice when you're actually seeing it in practice.
No.
And you know what? Non-lethal or not, those rubber bombs that guy was throwing out of that.
Dude, that thing would mess you up.
That thing could break bones if fired too close a range.
I think if you got hit with that, you'd just give up. You'd be like, all right, look, It could have been a lot worse than that.
And I love that crowd taser, the one that's in the box.
What is that?
It fires like 12 tasers at once. It's like, Jesus Christ.
What do you do? Like, do you mount that on the top of a vehicle?
It looks like you just basically sit it on the ground, pull the front off and fire, and it just literally just, it's like a scattergun of tasers, you know?
Dude, that's epic.
It's just dangerous looking. All right, so there's your taser news, and from that, we go to another piece of old school, which I absolutely love. This really appeals to me. As you know, I'm a photographer. So a company has come up with this small digital cartridge that looks exactly like a 35 mil film cartridge.
Oh, wow.
And you pull out a little sensor and you load it into your old film camera and turn your film camera into a digital camera.
Oh, wow.
Look at that. It looks exactly like a roll of film, and you actually pull out a little sensor screen.
And so,
and the sensor screen sits behind the shutter. So
basically, you're getting the image,
and it's saving it to the cartridge, which then I assume you plug in by a USB or something like that, and pull your images off.
USB cartridge.
There you go. I think that is brilliant, because I actually still have an old film camera, and the idea of being able to whack something like that in and use that on my old film camera.
Any idea on a price?
I don't think it actually has a price. It's going to ship this spring. It comes in 4, 8, and 12 megapixel size. 12 megapixel sizes.
Yeah.
Let's just hope this isn't some elaborate leftover April Fool's joke. Now, I got to say one thing here as well. I know it is April 9th today.
Yeah.
But there are residual April Fool's Day stuff hanging around the web. And this is why I hate April Fool's, because you start going through it. There were actually articles in the notes as I was going through them going, I don't know if this is real or not.
Yeah.
And you're always looking at the date on the articles, and they're like from March 31st or April 2nd. And you're going, is this real or not? Mm. So if any of these things are April Fool's jokes, I've done my best to try and find stuff that is not from April 1st, because you just don't know. But this is actually April 5th that this came at. This was posted. And I think this might actually be real, because it's technology that theoretically you could do. There is no reason why this couldn't work. I would love to know the dynamics of how the electronics work.
Yeah.
So when you put it into the film cartridge area of your camera, what actually triggers?
Well, I would imagine
I'm trying to figure out the mechanics of it, you know?
Maybe it's something about when
the shutter opens.
Yeah, the shutter opens, I would imagine. Maybe it just, well, because it'd be probably sensing whatever's coming through light-wise. So,
okay, according to the Gizmodo article, it actually says, and I'll quote from the Gizmodo article, it says, photographers who want to go digital but can't bring themselves to get rid of their analog cameras have something to lust for. RE35 understands your plight and has come up with a digital cartridge that fits into any 35mm camera. The RE35 cartridge has a pull-out sensor instead of film that records your images in the cartridge's built-in memory. The cartridge connects to your PC or Mac via USB so you can transfer images and charge the cartridge. So it's got a battery in it. It's supposed to ship in the spring, 4, 8, and 12 megapixel size. Let's just hope this isn't some elaborate April Fool's joke. So that's all we have to go on at this point.
I hope that's real, dude. Because
now
be
we've
really
had a
cool.
lot of people in the comments section basically saying fake, you know. But we don't know at this point.
Yeah. Hey, look, if they could make it work, awesome.
And Delta Knight has said, some things from April Fools often become real, too. So,
exactly. All it takes is somebody to go, that is a fantastic idea, and invest some money into it.
Now, the only reason why I am wary of this as an April Fools thing, the only reason is because I'm having trouble understanding the mechanics of how it operates.
Yeah.
I can understand how it works. How it works makes perfect sense. You've got all the chips and everything within the actual cartridge. The sensor takes the information in. How do you trigger it from an old analog 35mm camera? That's the only issue for me.
I'm going with light censoring, but again, who knows?
Who knows? So as I say, it could be an elaborate April Fool's joke. If it's not, good on them, and I will buy one because I have, as I say, I have two 35mm cameras. So I would love to make a 12 megapixel camera out of that old Pentax I've got in there. It'd be lovely. All right. Space, the final frontier. The new Falcon Heavy rocket is launching into space. This is basically a replacement for our space shuttle. This thing is the most powerful rocket basically since the Saturn V. It's not as powerful as the Saturn V, but it is up there. It can lift some damn heavy loads, 27 engines to get this thing into space and back. It can actually lift, what is it? It's a massive amount of tonnage it can actually lift. And they're saying this is going to be the machine to A, get satellites and stuff into orbit, and B, this could actually launch a mission to the moon.
Oh, wow.
It is powerful enough to do it. So
how's the cost? Is it more?
Well, as far as I understand, and this is the bigger part, it's privately funded.
Oh, wow.
So I think that it's NASA is using it, but I think it is actually not necessarily NASA paid for. So which could mean that NASA has to contract for it. But I think this is a nice step. It's from a company called SpaceX.
Oh, well, there you go.
And so, yeah, be prepared for news on Falcon Heavy's launches, like they used to do space shuttle launches.
That's
like,
awesome.
There's a new one going up, you know? So I'm very happy that we're still involved in space, because I do like space.
I like the idea. When they make it commercially available and actually reasonable priced, I'll go to the moon.
Ah, damn straight. I want to go into one of those subterranean moon bases.
Dude, actually show.
From the moon. Live from the moon.
That's amazing. It's coming, guys. Callisint
has actually confirmed in our chat room, SpaceX is completely privately funded.
There we go.
All right, so there you go. Now, I've got to say, that insane lunatic known as Rogan, as Ruslan Rogan.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually starting to get a little bit more respect for this guy.
Yeah.
I think he's an insane lunatic, but I am starting to get... There was an article on news.com.au this week, which was basically an interview with him, and he talks about his philosophies.
Yeah.
And about the things that he's done and stuff like that. And let's just have a quick look here and basically say he's 28 years old. He is saying this year it is very possible that he will make between $40 and $100 million this year from his business. He is phenomenally successful. He made $20 million last year. He challenged his arch rival Harvey Norman to a live television debate. Jerry Harvey, but it was refused. He challenged JB Hi-Fi chief Terry Smart to a $1 million bet that Apple would pull its products from its retail stores in favor of its own stores. He's establishing his own WikiLeaks-style website designed to encourage anonymous whistleblowers to expose dodgy retail practices, which I have no problem with at all. He is adamant that he doesn't set out to be controversial, but it just happens because he's very outspoken. Let's put it that way. He's very outspoken about what he believes in.
Yeah, all right.
He says he's very passionate about the industry, quote unquote, "I'm very passionate about the industry that we're in, and what happens is if you tell it like it is and you tell the truth, some people are going to get pissed off."
Yeah.
He particularly dismisses the big retailers' ill-fated campaign to close the GST loophole on overseas goods bought online for under $1,000. He basically goes on. He really goes on about Jerry Harvey a lot. I do suggest you have a look at this interview, because I think you will actually find that, yes, he's a little fireball insane man, because he's out there.
And
just
I think I completely disagree with him with the idea that he thinks that he doesn't start.
Oh, I think he knows exactly what he's doing, and
dude,
that's the thing.
The man goes out and does interviews like this. This is exactly what you're doing. It's like you are stirring the pot.
Yeah,
don't try.
Look,
and pretend
you're definitely not. He's definitely got that kind of American attitude to retail, though, unlike a lot of Australian retailers, which is, there's a quote in there where he actually says, "I teach my staff to swim upstream. Yeah. I teach my staff to strive for always being better at what they're doing." Mm. And that's not a real Australian mentality. Mentality is kind of more that laid back, she'll be right. You know what I mean? So he's definitely more of a rah-rah, and that's going to put him at odds with a lot of people in Australia because he has that go-getter attitude. Right?
Yeah.
And that's going to get him into trouble. But I have to say, I'm actually, I'm almost inspired to go out and buy something from Kogan, just something small, just so I can say I've got a Kogan device. Because what he does is he buys all his components from overseas, but he assembles here. So they're Australian assembled devices, and they're his product. So it's not like he's just buying cheap shit from overseas and then reselling it on. He assembles it here. So it's a curious and interesting marketing campaign.
Yeah.
It's a curious and interesting business that he's in. And I actually have to say that all the stories we've done on Kogan in the past have all been like, who is this little weirdo?
Yeah.
You know? But I think there is actually more to him than that. And I would be interested to know more about it. Now, I believe some of the people in our chat room have actually bought Kogan stuff.
Yeah.
Callison says he likes his Kogan TV. It was cheap and free shipping.
Yeah.
Cool. There you go.
There you go.
And Delta says he likes the whistleblower site idea. Oh, I do too. The one thing I can't stand is bad retail practice. And I think any site that would actually, where you could go on and say, yeah, this is the service shit that I got,
yeah,
is a good thing. And that's not to say that, you know, I'm blaming staff in particular or anyone.
No, but staff. My only problem with that is that, like, where do we draw the line on this sort of stuff? Because it's like, where does retail get their ability to kind of fight back? Like, as an example, there is, like, and this isn't even from my current workplace, this is from an old workplace. I had someone walk in with an incredibly bad chip on their shoulder, abuse me swearing-wise, like, 4 to 5 times, and in the end I just said, I'm not going to serve you. I'm sorry, but I'm legally not required to serve you. I'm incredibly tense right now, and I feel like I'm about to get into a physical fight. Yeah. I'm sorry, dude, but you're going to have to leave. Now, that person then went and complained about me. Now, where's my chance to respond to that?
Well, see, theoretically, like in an abusive relationship, the retailer already has the stronger hand here. Because the retailer is the one who's in business. The retailer is the one who is selling. The retailer, it is the onus of responsibility on the retailer to please the customer. Now, in that situation, that customer is obviously insane. And your boss should have taken your word for that. You know
but
what I mean?
If you set up a whistleblowing site, how do I jump on and do
as
I have to
as a retail, I would say if a site like that is going to work, there has to be both sides of the coin on it. Where people can defend the situation.
But I don't want to have to go online and constantly...
Well, also, this is not necessarily something that is going to be taken seriously by anybody. It's a way for people to vent about their issues.
Wonderful. Yeah, that sounds great.
Anyway, Delta Knight says, well, a lot of customers have no idea what the hell they are talking about most of the time. So in the same way, the site could be shit.
Yeah, exactly. The site could end up blowing up in its face. Again, I'm not talking against it. I just think it's an interesting situation. Like I think the concept of it kind of leads for a very that the concept ends up being
good price.
the constant flow of something like that just ends up feeding the sea of cowards that we have on the net, which is just this concept that if you are anonymous, you can say whatever you want. Mm. And it's just like, that doesn't breed me to support this kind of thing, because it's just like, if you're in store, it's face-to-face. And if you are insane, you have to deal with the fact that no one's going to take you seriously. If you go online, you just end up with a whole sea of people that have been abused because they can't socially understand why they broke their camera by sticking it straight into their computer or trying to push it through their TV, and then we won't give them a replacement. Mm. And it's like, I'm sorry, but you can't really...
Yeah, you can never underestimate the stupidity of customers as well, I'm afraid.
Exactly, and this is my only thing
and
to
I speak
say.
From 13 years of retail experience. I know what it's like. I know exactly what Josh is saying.
Yeah, I'm just saying that if we're going to do it, we have to make sure that we do it right, is all I'm going to say.
Josh is actually on the Kogan site right now, and there's a full HD 1080p camera for only
$299. Again, oh wow, HDMI output. This is actually quite a good camera.
That's a nice looking little camera.
It doesn't have an input. Don't worry. It's useless.
What do you want an input for?
Never you mind.
Okay.
Do your goddamn show.
All right. Now, I just wanted to state with this article that it's good to see that we as a people know how to keep shit in perspective. I hope that you note the sense of sarcasm that I'm saying here, because we've had another incident where massive overreaction has caused people heartache. A professor in the mass media department at Valdosta State University wanted to stop a student from misbehaving in class. Right, yeah. They were on their laptop, and he was sure that they were doing stuff on their laptop they weren't supposed to be doing while he was giving his class.
Right.
So he walked up and he closed the lid of the laptop, which actually came down on the person's hands. Didn't hurt them, but came down on their hands, right? Yeah. That person is now suing that teacher for assault. And the teacher has basically been suspended from their job. And they could literally lead to worse things if the charges hold. I'm sorry. That is the biggest overreaction I've ever seen. It's like you sit there and go, if you are fucking around in class...
Yeah.
And the teacher caught you and closed the lid of your laptop and you didn't get your hands out in time, that's not actually assault.
Mm.
Assault would be if the teacher picked up the laptop and smacked you over the head with it.
Yes.
All right? That's assault. Yeah. All right? having your fingers snipped by the lid of your laptop because you were Facebooking when you were supposed to be listening to your lecturer, that's not assault.
Yeah.
All right.
So was this high school?
This is Valstrad State University.
University, right. The problem that I do have, though, is in university, technically, you're paying for learning, so whatever you want to do is your kind of game. And
yeah, but there is also still classroom decorum. If you don't want to be in that classroom, as you say, you're paying for learning. If you don't want to be in that classroom, step out and Facebook.
Hmm.
You don't, there's nothing saying you have to be there.
No. Don't misunderstand me. The overreaction is obvious, but if it's interfering with other people or something like that, that's one thing. But if he was just Facebooking in class...
Okay, let's have a look at this quote here. This quote is from the Gizmodo article. It says, the altercation occurred when Dr. Rybicki allegedly closed a laptop computer on the hands of a student. Dr. Rybicki closed the laptop because he thought the student was on non-class-related websites. The student began to argue with Dr. Rybicki about closing the laptop and about the websites she visited while in class. Mm. Okay. Yes, he closed the laptop on a student who was slacking off in class, and that student pressed assault charges against him, and he was literally arrested.
Wow. Okay.
Okay? And now he's suspended, and the police have ordered students in the class not to talk to anybody about the incident.
Yes.
And the university is taking it all very seriously. According to this Gizmodo article, though, it says student feedback on the school newspaper completely supports the teacher.
Oh, well, there you go. Then she's just a bitch.
She's a bitch. Okay? And it says on the Gizmodo, I love the way Gizmodo editorializes stuff. It says, your blueprint for success has been laid out, rude student jerks. So I love the way they editorialize. All right. So for a complete, it wasn't porn. She's all good, says Zed. And Callison says he wishes he was a lawyer so he could defend folks from shit like this.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There are times where you sit there and go, God, I'd love to be able to get up there and just lay it out, you know? All right. I want the iOS version of this app. We're in the geeky shit, by the way, and we're running way over time, so we're going to move through these pretty quick. But I really want the iOS version of this. Android Wankometer is a new app that is for the Android phone where it actually comes with a special strap for your arm and it measures your speed, pace, and distance, so to speak.
Wow, does it have some sort of an ability to monitor and sort of tell you how good you're doing?
I think it keeps records, too. But, you know, Steve Jobs hasn't approved this for the iOS, obviously. Aww. I want this. But as somebody points out, though, that you really want it for a Android phone because strapping a Galaxy Tab to your arm might not be the right idea. Although that could be like a handicap.
No, you know? No. Just stop, Dave, please.
Oh, dear. Oh, see you, Zed. Zed's got to go. All right. Now, I'm not a huge April Fool's fan, as you know, because it just gets in the way of things. But I have to say, this is probably the most classic April Fool's joke I have ever seen.
Right.
And this is from US TV. And this is an anchor who actually April Fool's his co-host. And it is genius. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Your dream's answered. Welcome, the world's first app that actually lets you taste and smell things right on your phone.
Okay.
Check this out. This is wild. It's called Virtual Sip, and creators found a way to emit the odors, and the flavors right out of a smartphone. Now, to do this, scientists had to use a technology called piezoelectrics. They're materials capable of turning mechanical energy into usable energy, recognizable, of course, by the senses, and I got the free version on my phone.
Wait, are they licking their phone?
Yeah, dude, check it out. Okay, so you open it. So you open it up.
Right. You want me to lick the?
No, read the directions.
Oh, read the directions. Press smell button and let the glass fill.
It's awesome. Check it out.
Hold phone.
You smell it?
Nope.
Do the licking part where you can taste it.
I am not licking an iPad.
Lick it. Come on.
Is that a joke?
It gets better though. The video actually goes on for quite some time, so it's April Fool's Day.
I'm not talking to you.
She walks off.
I'm not talking to you. You made April Fool's joke on me. I'm not talking to you. No, that's not very nice. I'm not going back.
And it goes on. The weatherman's in on it. Everybody's in on it. It is so funny. She sticks her head back in screen at one point and goes, "Yeah, girl, you should have done that. That's horrible." But I love how authentic it all looks. He's actually got the whole video clip made up.
Oh, man, and there would have been the app. They would have had to make an app for that. That's brilliant. That is the most elaborate prank I think I've ever seen in my life. And to do it to someone on network TV, that is amazing.
Throughout the rest of that clip, it goes for about another minute and a half. He just can't stop laughing. And all the cameramen are laughing. And the weatherman's laughing.
Oh, man. It'd be about 3 to 4 weeks before you could take us seriously.
Delta says it was just so professional. The perfect prank. Oh, man.
Oh,
I can't see my show notes. So, yes, there are times when April Fool's works, and that's one of them. Because it's also not long-term. And I think that's one of the issues with April Fool's, is like with this camera thing. It's now 9 days later, and we don't know if it's an April Fool's joke or not. You know, we know it's an April Fool's joke.
That's the whole thing. You've got to have it. You've got to finish your April Fool's joke by the end of the day.
That's right.
It's like that. That's the rule. It's if you're going to have an April Fool's joke, you post up a little bit at the end of a post that says that. But then again, online nowadays, you guys are so goddamn lazy. I don't expect anything from you. I have particular gripes, and I don't care if they listen. I want to put this out. /film. Pick up your game, man, because you guys are getting absolutely terrible at article writing.
Oh, what do they do now?
They have an article which they've reposted later on, right? So they've had a trailer which leaked, and instead of writing a new trailer when it actually comes out, they've just reposted the original, which has lines in it. I shit you not, this is last week. This is way after Oscars. They have a line that says, "Hopefully, if Natalie Portman wins the Oscar." It's like, guys, one draft over your article would not take you longer than 2 minutes to fix stuff like that.
There was actually an article yesterday because there is talk, and this is not a film show, but there was talk about a remake of Hitchcock's To Catch a Thief.
Yeah.
And in the article, they go on and say we really shouldn't be remaking Hitchcock, although some kind of interesting remakes have happened in the past, such as, and it goes on to list, the Psycho remake, which was not very good, something else, and the something with Charlie. What was that film called? The Mark Wahlberg film, The Trouble with Charlie, or whatever it was called, which is a remake of Charade, which isn't even a Hitchcock film.
Yeah, someone really,
you know, and you sit there and go, "That's not a Hitchcock film, guys."
Yeah, it's just I don't know what it is. Maybe they're low on staff right now or something like that. But guys, come on, you used to be the most professional site I had been to. And
they may
guys
have grown a little bit too big too fast. That's the problem.
Look, you guys probably don't even listen to the show, but I just want to say, if you guys want to retort, feel free to, but I've read articles lately that have actually upset me because I read them and I'm just like, this is poorly written, or it has bad facts in it, or if it doesn't have bad facts, you guys have just pointed at things that don't quite make sense.
Yeah, I actually still, I use /film a lot as a news gathering RSS feed, because they're so fast on the market picking stuff up. But I find I have to double-check everything nowadays, which I didn't used to do.
Exactly. They're still getting it out at the same speed, but I'm actually finding that I will go find the article there and then go find somewhere else to fact-check it. Because it's like I don't trust them anymore.
Yeah, and to swing this right back around where it started from, and that's the problem with April Fool's Online, is that nobody goes back to fix anything.
Well, I think it's the problem with online journalism. But there you go.
Anyway, all right, we're gonna have to kick through a bunch of this. We'll skip the next story because it was boring anyway. We'll say somehow, this is just a picture, and the picture will be on our website, so you can have a look at the picture for those who are listening. But, you know, things like Magic the Gathering and Yu-Gi-Oh! And all these card games. Well, this person has decided that they'd be fun to play it using smartphones. And so each phone has a card on it. And they're actually holding the cards like a deck. And all I can think is, there's got to be a better way to do this.
It's called cards. This is a terrible idea.
And also this, I mean, I guess the idea is you keep your deck up to date and fresh, you know, because there's always, you know, digital versions of stuff. But at the same time, how easy is that to cheat?
How many phones do you reckon he's got there?
Well,
let's count them.
If it's a deck of 50.
1, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. So there's 9 a row, and there's 2 rows each side. I don't know what the middle row is. I assume they're in play. So
no,
you've
that's
got
the, if it's like Magic nine, the Gathering, 18. It's the mana cards and then the creature cards
yeah.
underneath.
Yeah, yeah. So you've but got 18. You've got 18, and then so 5 times 9 is 45. You've got 45 phones there. Why don't you just invest in a touch screen? I'm just going to go out there.
Callison says
ask.
You could probably just use like one phone and an app.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, I just thought that was incredibly geeky.
Does he work? How did he get that many?
Why apparently, they are Chinese knockoff phones, so not real ones. So they're not real iPhones. They're Chinese knockoffs, and I don't think it's tournament legal somehow to do that. I think it's just he's just having some fun. But could you imagine when you actually and somebody else in the article in the show notes part of it was basically saying, how do you shuffle?
Yeah, and how do you choose which cards you get? I'm very confused. Yeah, no, or maybe each phone only has one card on it.
No, each phone only has one card. Oh, I see, to set them up. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. Who knows? God. Now, from that to the other geeky photo, we've actually got three really geeky photos. Sorry, I take that back. Four really geeky photos. And normally we don't do photos because it's an audio show. But I am going to say all of you need to go to the show notes and actually look at these photos because these photos in particular are really wonderful. This is a geek coffee table. I don't think my wife would go for it, but check this coffee table out. It's made of old computer parts.
Oh, wow. That looks dangerous.
So it's all hard drives and motherboards and all sorts of stuff to make this coffee table, which I just think is awesome. And I think that would look good in a man cave.
It would look great in a man cave. I bump into my tables far too often to have something like that. I'd end up killing myself.
Callison says that would hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other one is an ad installation from Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
The cars, you know, the little toy cars. Yeah. This ad installation, I think, is genius.
Yeah.
This is on a freeway in America. It's just a flat. It's just a flat, but as you approach it, it looks like there's a loop-de-loop on the freeway, which I think is brilliant. And if you go to the link for that in our show notes, it actually has all the behind-the-scenes photos of them putting that up as well. And that's just badass. The problem is that's actually a solid center.
Yeah.
So you'd have to make sure you put it up on the right kind of sky.
Yeah.
Because it looks overcast. If you put it up on a blue sky, you'd notice the white center. I don't know why they didn't cut the center out.
Maybe weight problems. Anyway.
And the last one, this one's actually more for Celine.
Yeah.
Okay, because Celine likes the geek apparel.
Yeah.
How about 8-bit stockings?
Oh, that's great.
These are, for our audio listeners, they're stockings that actually have the little jaggy 8-bit tops on them. They look great.
That's hilarious.
So I think those are terrific, and I think old geek girls should go out and get a pair of those. Those who wear stockings, of course.
Yeah.
And they actually are, I don't think they're like stockings, they're pantyhose. That's print on the pantyhose.
That's kind of cool.
But it's very cool. Okay, with those pictures out of the way, let's just talk about a really neat service in England and in Europe called Spotify. I don't know if you know about Spotify, but it's another one of the services with stream music. You have a subscription and you can stream anything you want from it and set up playlists.
Yeah.
It's like Pandora in America and so forth. We don't get Spotify over here, so this story is irrelevant to us. But there's a really fun little bit of tech that is actually being experimented with Spotify. It's only in prototype mode at the moment, which is actually a little box that looks like an old-fashioned radio. It actually looks like an old-time radio from like the 50s, right? And you'll see the picture in a second. It'll pop up. There you go. And what you can do is these cards, these are little cardboard cards that have a little disc in the center of them, and you can actually record your Spotify playlists onto the disc. So with your little old-timey radio, which is connected to your computer, obviously, because it has to feed off the USB, you take the little card, slot it in the side, and it puts your playlist into the old-fashioned radio.
That's kind of
cool.
It's kind of old tech.
It's very old tech, and it's really, really cute. It's as I say, it's using RFID tags, and it is only at this point in prototype. But it's irrelevant to us because we don't get Spotify anyway. But if we got Spotify, I'd be right there with them. Weird Geek Food.
That
and this week,
that first title alone is starting to scare me a little bit.
And this week we have three Weird Geek Foods.
Yeah.
Bear with me here, because they are kind of odd. First of all, I want to welcome our bovine overlords, okay? Or soon to be, because apparently they are starting to splice people DNA into cows.
Right.
Because that way it makes the milk more compatible with humans, so more like human milk.
Why would you want to do that?
Well, I guess what they're saying is that formula isn't satisfactory enough, and if we could actually have a milk that was much more like human breast milk, then it would actually be better. I would actually say, why don't you use human breast milk?
That's anyway, kind of where I was going.
I kind of look at it and go, we're splicing our DNA with the cows to get better breast milk. What happens next is the cows stand up on their hind legs and say, I don't like the way you've been treating me.
Next.
And so I just think mixing our...
Yeah, exactly, Callison. That was the point going through my head. If we eat those cows, is it cannibalism?
I would think.
That's fucked
so
up.
I think that's a really bad idea. And yeah. I think the impending robot apocalypse may be run by the cows at this point.
Right? That's messed up.
Piece of news. And I've got one nice one at the end to kind of wash the taste of this out of your mouth.
I hope so.
Now, you don't have headphones plugged in, which is a problem, because you really want to see this. I'll give you mine, because I've actually watched it.
No, I'll tell you what.
You're going to get your headphones on for this one? Okay, a bit of backstory while Josh is digging up his headphones. A young man, I think it's in America, I'm pretty sure it's in America, was drinking a Monster Energy drink.
Right.
So he was drinking a can of Monster Energy drink.
Just for the record, I think tastes like crap.
Well, yeah, and his was actually tasted even worse, because when he got to the bottom, he kind of felt it was like chunky bits.
Yeah.
You know, and it didn't appeal to him. He was having some issues with the way it was tasting. And so he thought, that's weird. So he had a look down inside the can and saw a mouse's tail. And thought, that's weird, after vomiting.
Of course.
And thought...
I imagine that's weird wasn't what was going
on. No, I think the vomiting came first.
Yeah.
But anyway, he went and had a lab look at it, and they x-rayed the can, and they did indeed find an entire mouse at the bottom of the can. And here's the news report for this story.
Today, a federal weigh-man filed a lawsuit against the maker of Monster Energy drink.
He claims he found a dead mouse at the bottom of his can, and he has the lab work to prove it. King 5's Alyssa Hahn has the story, new at 11.
Anytime somebody talks about Monster, I just get that sick feeling in my stomach.
It happened a year ago. Vitaly Soljic remembers it like it was yesterday.
I went to Fred Meyer to buy myself a drink. Bought myself a Monster.
When he finished drinking his Monster Energy drink, he didn't realize another Monster would be at the bottom.
I put it down and I felt it was still heavy, so like I backwashed it and like all this debris went into my mouth. And then I looked in the can and I saw the tip of the tail, and I just vomited everywhere.
It was a dead mouse inside the can. His attorney sent the can to MDE Laboratories in Seattle, which cut open the can and took these photos. They conducted a series of forensic tests on behalf of this client and Monster's insurance company. X-rays and autopsies showed the mouse did not suffer any trauma, nor was it killed using poison. In other words, there were no signs the mouse was killed and forced through the opening.
You hear these wild stories out there, sure, you're a little skeptical at first, but everything here has checked out.
Juracek says Monster is aware of the findings, but still refuses to believe his client. The drink maker declined to comment on the lawsuit. The 19-year-old from Federal Way says he hasn't drunk anything from a can since.
And I can't trust anything that's like an enclosed can.
If it's enclosed within a container, he's suspicious of it, and that may last forever.
Alyssa Hahn, King 5 News.
And I think I speak for all of us when I say,
well, thankfully, when Dave did actually tell me that the story was coming up, I always drink Red Bull from a bottle. But I will be thinking about that next time I buy a can.
So obviously this mouse has gotten into the can during the canning process.
Yeah.
The stuff is poured into it. It's drowned.
Yeah.
And then the top's been sealed onto it. You know. Yeah. So the poor thing.
I think Monster will probably end up just, you know, sort of paying him out, and that'll be that, to be honest. But still, like, it's something to think about.
Yeah, it is something to think about every time you open it. Pop a can of something now, you go,
yeah.
All right, let's wash that taste out of our mouth with the edible pen.
What?
The edible pen.
Say again?
the chewable pen. You know, the candy necklaces that you can get?
Yeah.
Well, a guy basically who chews his pen all the time decided, well, if we got candy necklaces, why can't we have candy pens?
That's a great idea.
So he molded himself.
I will never have a pen in my bag, though.
So he molded a pen out of the candies. The ink is only in the front section, and apparently it's peppermint flavor. But the ink is only in the front section, so you can't chew the very tip of it, of course, because that's where the ink is, but you can chew the rest of the pen away while you're working.
What happens? You should probably give us a little bit that we can't eat.
I think
a bit
the entire front section is plastic.
Yeah. That's still very cool. I love little shit like that. That's a really awesome idea.
So there you go.
Idea.
That's some geeky thing we can actually eat aside from the DNA enhanced milk and monster mice.
That's not a good idea though, because you'll just end up eating your pen entirely. And then like every pen you'll start ripping it apart. It's just horrible. Anyway.
All right. So that's our weird food. We're going to get onto our geek picks of the week.
Yeah.
Now, both of my picks actually come from Delta, because he put these in the show notes and I immediately bought and downloaded both of these and thought these are both really good and people should know about them. So that's where mine are coming from. They're actually the two picks of the week. I just got to find my notes here. Hold on a second. Actually in the notepad part. Are a program called... where's my notes? Thank you. Can you please come up here? Thank you. Thank you. Here it is. All right. It's a program called Trains Simulator, TRAINZ Simulator. It's $1.19. It's for iPad. Now, if you're an iPad 1 user like me, it's really processor hungry and it runs a little slow. It works, but it runs a little slow. What you will need to do as soon as you install it is reset your iPad because it crashed the first time I tried to run it. If you're on an iPad 2, apparently it runs really smoothly. It's very, very graphics heavy. But basically, it's like having a digital train set. You can build the terrain, you build the tracks, you can do all, and then you can drive your trains around it and run missions and stuff. If you do the pre-made ones, it'll say things like pick up boxcars, take them to such and such, and you have to actually go through, switch tracks, bring your train in, actually do it. And you can actually look at it from the sky, from the cabin. You can have a rotating camera around it, and you can run this train set. Lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. And the other game, which I thoroughly enjoy because it's like playing Death Race, is a top-down car game called Death Rally. That's $5.99 on the App Store, iPhone and iPad. And basically, it is like Carmageddon or something. You've got a car. It's got a gun. You race tracks. You try and kill things. You shoot and blow up all your scenery around you. And you upgrade your car as you go through it. And it's a lot of fun. I've been having some super fun with that. And I think Death Rally may be co-op. Not co-op, but it may be networked.
Yeah. Okay.
So well worth having a look at. So those are the two apps that were brought up. I immediately bought both of those when he mentioned them because they both sounded like things I would like. And Train Simulator. I'm a big train set person. I don't have a train set at the moment, but I love train sets.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like a train set in my pocket. But the Death Rally one is good because it's also iPad and iPhone. I actually find it works better on iPhone. Because once again, so it's on-screen controls. And because it's on-screen controls, the smaller interface actually makes it work a bit better.
Cool.
Anyway. And you have nothing for this week, yes?
Nothing
app-wise. You actually have something pretty major that you're going to talk about.
I have recently decided that my computer at home is not useful enough, and I have decided to rectify that problem, and what I did was went out and bought a new computer.
Yay!
So I thought I would share it with you. It is the Asus U36J, which is a 13.3-inch, incredibly light, incredibly thin laptop. It's running an i5 processor.
It's so funny because that 13-inch looks so much bigger than my 13-inch.
It's probably only because your
body is a different.
It's actually really good because of its size and the fact that it has a bit of distance between the screen and the actual keys. It makes it a lot more comfortable when sitting down. It's a little bit lighter than your MacBook as well.
A little bit, yeah. I was actually surprised at how light it feels.
But it's a full-spec i5 processor, and it's also running a 1 gig NVIDIA 310M graphics card. And the thing is awesome. I can play games with it. I can do video editing with it. And the best part about it is it's running an 8-cell battery, so it actually has a battery life. While using it, usually of about 5 to 6 hours. Yeah. So, yeah. No,
I've got to say, laptop batteries have come a long way because this new MacBook Pro I've got as well also lasts for hours.
Mm.
I'm surprised at how well they've got these batteries running now.
Yeah, exactly.
I was stunned. You brought that out and showed it to me on, what was it, Wednesday, Thursday, whenever it was I saw you. And it was just like, it's really pretty. Being on camera here in the show doesn't do it justice. It is really pretty.
Probably one of my favorite things about it is the fact that it's got that, it's aluminium magnesium alloy. As the build, so yep. It's kind of like, it almost looks like matte plastic, but it's much thicker and much more durable. So it's just...
Yeah, because you'd be mistaken. On first touch, it feels like plastic.
Yeah. But when you actually sit down and use it for long periods of time, like video editing and stuff like that, doing 3 hours of video editing in a cafe is freaking cool.
Hmm?
Like, just being able to sit there and do full work at a cafe and just not have to worry about the 10 minutes of battery life have left.
And the screen is gorgeous. It's bright, colorful.
Yeah, exactly. Look, the entire thing is amazing. It's rocking USB 3 as well. Not that I actually have any devices yet that use USB 3, but I am buying a new hard drive soon, so who knows.
How big is the hard drive on that?
500 gigs, so it's nice and big. And, of course, it's rocking 4 gigs of RAM as well. So
it's beautiful.
It's awesome. There is 2 slots in it as well, so you can upgrade it to 8.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah,
very nice.
So a possible considered further purchase. But based on the fact that I was allowed to get this is enough for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. For now, just rock it with 4. We can look at putting more in it.
Look,
later
I'm
on.
Running 4 at the moment. 4 is actually, it handles itself quite nicely.
Look, I mean, as much as I like playing games on it, to be honest, I've only got about 3 or 4 of them installed because it's more of a work computer than it is anywhere. But it has replaced every other device. I don't use my phone very much, and my iPad.
And he'll stop complaining about my netbook because he brings it into the show.
It's amazing. It's fast and it doesn't
and
ever give me
light.
Any
he
troubles.
Can carry it.
And I was playing Oblivion for probably an hour before we kicked off the show this morning, and we have had it running the entire show, and it still has about
That's
an hour
you're
and
not
40
on power.
Minutes battery long.
Yeah. It didn't even occur to me. You're not on power.
Yeah.
Well, there
I'm
you
trying
go.
To take care of this battery. I would like it to last for a while.
It's a beautiful machine. And what's the retail on that?
Retail on it's $1,400.
Yeah. So it's actually the same retail price as the 13-inch MacBook.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
Exactly.
It's actually spec'd out with higher specs.
Yes. And just a nudge to anyone that's considering getting one, you could probably get $100 off that if you asked nicely to the right salesperson.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So it's got a good markup on it, obviously. That's good. Excellent. That is fantastic. That's actually probably the best pick we've had for some time.
Yeah. No.
Most expensive pick we've ever had.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It's pretty. It's really pretty.
I'm still not over it. I still do that thing where I pull it out and I'm just like, look at it. It's so pretty.
Awesome. Now, there's one other thing we should bring up very quickly, which was Calisynth has said that he has an app for this week as well. Mm. Now, this is untested by us, but we'll throw it out anyway. He says Digital Spirit Board.
Mm.
It's an app and it's free. And the reason he brings it up is because he developed it himself.
And that is freaking cool.
And that
is I will
awesome.
Be getting that.
And we
I
will pull it down this afternoon
it.
And have a look. Because that is fantastic.
And if it's even slightly good, I'm going to give you 5 stars because we like you.
Is it an iPad or iPhone? Just for the record. Or is it universal? And while you're answering that, because we have a delay, I will move on and say that is our show for today. Thank you very much. We do
we'll
have
move
one
on to say that's it. Goodbye.
We do have one last
iPhone.
Video. iPhone. Thank you very much, Calisynth. We do have one more video. Now, this isn't particularly clever in the sense that it's brilliantly made or anything like that, but it did make me chuckle on a couple of them. It's very long and I have abridged it.
Yeah.
Okay, I've cut it down to just like a minute and something because it went on. It outstays its welcome pretty fast.
Yeah.
But I thought we'd just play this before we do our sign-offs because
I would also like to say that due to its contents, if you are of a younger situation or possibly someone that's slightly offended by things like this, you may want to stop it here.
This isn't necessarily safe for work.
Yeah.
But it's also they don't. Yeah, there's a couple lines in it, maybe, that, yeah, you've seen this, I take it. So I have a bridge this down. So beware. This is basically hidden nerd sex tapes, okay?
Oh.
And this is what nerds get up to in the bedroom.
Hey, baby, you want to see my light cycle? And now my penis.
Let's role play. You be Pixar. And I'm gonna use you! Toy Story 4! Toy Story 4!
The Prime Directive states I can't interfere. So once it's in, it's in!
I was just gonna... You wanna just... The fat man, he's got a... No. I was just gonna leave that here. His backpack is Jets, so it's pretty good.
I just had a fire flower, so burning sensation? Totally normal.
This is my boomstick! And that's the S-Mart special. Both have a hair trigger.
We're gonna do this Euro Disney style. It's like normal Disney, but dirty.
I love that one.
I think your mom's home.
What?
The English are coming! The English are coming! The English are coming! The English came.
I call it the MCP. Master Control Penis.
I love that. Oh, I'm a redshirt, so I'm probably not gonna last very long.
Call me daddy.
Do you wanna stop?
I think my favorite is call me daddy.
It's kind of upsetting, that whole video.
It goes on much further, and there are actually some that are real duds in there. But there's a few moments in there that I actually think are very funny. I quite like, I'm a red shirt, so I may not last very long. And
it's kind of, though, it's that kind of humor that you groan at. Though.
Yeah, of course. And my favorite, though, has got to be the big bearded guy with, I call it the MCP.
I just like that it starts glowing, because there's so many things that are wrong with that.
Oh, dear. All right. One day geeks will be making these sort of videos about normal people, says Northy.
Yes.
All right, we're going to get out of here. Let's do a little bit of housekeeping before we go. We are running way over today, as usual. Okay, if you have agreements or disagreements or you want to pull us up on our facts, such as Zed did for us, because we love that, go to feedback@geekactually.com, or you can send us a voicemail at 02-8011-3167. We actually had Skype open and everything. We didn't open the phone lines. Just too much to talk about. Get merchandise, join the fan page, join, follow us on Twitter. I mean, anything. You want to follow us, find us, anything. You can do that just by going to geekactually.com, follow us link on the side of the page. Follow that. It's got all of our links. Okay. You can watch us record this show live every Saturday, as we said at the head of the show, 12 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time now. So Australian Eastern Standard Time, UTC plus 10. My show notes still say daylight savings. At geekactually.com/live. And make sure you check out our friends over at weekendronin.com. They do the Real Junkies podcast, R-E-E-L, which is a movie podcast where they drink tequila and just chit-chat about all the films that they've been watching. It's good fun. And Josh, I believe you have something?
Yes, RodDLC.com. It's a gaming website. Go check it out. We record live at 8 p.m. on Tuesdays. Feel free to check us out there as well. And, of course, both our and Dave's store. If you're on iTunes and you're pulling it down, please give us a rating. It helps a lot.
Absolutely. Now, a couple of things. First of all, we also want to say Josh Spencer, thank you for joining us for the movie on Thursday. And he is our cartoon artist. AttackNinja.blogspot.com is where you can find out more about his stuff. And we have to also do a quick shout out, because we never give him a shout out, to Grant Noy, who actually did our wonderful opening theme. So thank you very much, Grant. And a big thank you to Delta Knight for all of our show links and moderating our chat room for us. He is wonderful, David Murray. Now, very quickly, before we go, two things. First of all, we've actually had a real increase to our numbers over the last couple of weeks. It's really great to see. We want that to increase and to continue. So please, if you are an iTunes user, in particular, if you're in North America, Canada, North America, or England, because those are stores we don't have a huge profile on, please leave us a review or a comment if you are a user of those stores for both Geek Actually and Film Actually podcasts. It would be much appreciated. And that helps push us up the ranks. And secondly, The Little Geek has a birthday coming up. Now, we put this on the website, but just in case you didn't see it, Little Geek, and he's in the chat room, he actually knows about this, so it's not a big surprise. We've talked about getting him an iOS device over the last couple of weeks for his birthday. His birthday's in June 1st. And we actually suggested to him that we would probably get him something like an iPod Touch for his birthday, because, you know, he likes playing with the touch interface and all this sort of stuff. But he would really like an iPad. because he wants to be able to use things like Celtix, the screenwriting program, GarageBand, and iMovie. We've explained to him that we can't afford an iPad at this point. We can probably afford the iPod Touch. However, I thought, well, in the bid to see what would happen, we have put up a donations link on the front page. If you would like to be helping Little Geek get an iPad for his birthday, we will chip in what it is worth to get an iPod Touch. Mm-hmm. We are looking for donations to help make up the difference. Okay? So if you're interested, go to geekactually.com, look in the sidebar, you'll see one that says, get Little Geek an iPad too, right? Mm. Any donation. $5, $10, doesn't matter. And you'll be put, anybody who donates will be put on the birthday card. Okay?
Awesome.
So we are trying to get Little Geek an iPad for his birthday. All right? Mm-hmm. So just to let you know that that's out there. All right? And it's not essential. You're not required to do this. It is just out there. Okay? All right. With all that being said, I think we're done. I don't think we have anything else. Look, it doesn't change pages anymore. So therefore, we must be done.
That's because it's the, that's.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It won't change pages, so therefore
there's nothing more to talk about, so we're going to go goodbye.
Therefore, we've hit the bottom of the page, and we're going to get out of here. We're going to use Delta Knight's sign-off, because Delta Knight... Oh, well, one more thank you. Thank you, chat room. You guys are fantastic.
Yes, we couldn't do the show without chance you. Chat room this week.
Absolutely, it's fantastic. And welcome, Charlie Fat. I think they're new.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get out of here. Thank you very much. Remember, film actually follows this in just a few minutes. Excuse me, for those who are watching live, for those who listen to the audio podcast, we actually do a film show. Find that at Film Actually on iTunes. All right. I don't think we have anything special in our closing credits this week, so I think we're just going to use... no, what's going on here? Oh, there we go. We're just going to use Delta Knight's standard sign-off, which I think we could probably appropriate by now, but he's always there, and I always feel guilty that we've stolen it from him. And I'm going to say geek on, everybody, and we'll see you all next week. Bye now. Let me be.